This is Local Views of the News. First time in September, Aught 9. Remarkable election results have put Japan at the top of the international news this week, and that's unusual. Ever since the U.S. forcibly redirected its national attitude and aspirations at the end of World War II, Japan has quietly and efficiently gone about the business of international business, getting along with everyone and developing one of the world's most affluent standards of living. But that prosperity is based on exporting the goods it manufactures, so Japan is twisting in the economic winds these days, and change is afoot. Just one political party has been in charge for about 60 years in Japan. Although opposition parties always exist, none has ever before pushed the Liberal Democrats, the LDP, out of the driver's seat until now. This is especially interesting for the U.S., not just because the LDP always has been accommodating to U.S. business interests, but also because some familiar themes have been presented in the name of change. The new ruling party is simply called the Democrats, and they're promoting an economic stimulus package and reforms in social service programs. The incoming Prime Minister, Yukio Hatoyama, talks about taking power away from the bureaucrats who serve big business and, quote, putting people's lives first. Sounds very Obama-esque. Ironically, Hatoyama comes from a wealthy family which has been powerful in the LDP for three generations, sort of the Rockefellers of Asia. None of this signals any radical change in U.S.-Japan relations, but it could mean that Japan will be behaving a little more independently in the world economy, not as reliant on the U.S. market. In its simplest terms, Sony, Nikon, and Toyota might become more expensive products in this part of the world. This is interesting also because it wasn't too long ago that people in the U.S. directed considerable resentment toward Japanese capitalism. Little cars and little electronic devices were ridiculed, and the Buy American slogan, which still thrives, was a direct response to those things. Nowadays, Japanese products are the paragon of quality, and all that Buy American fervor has been redirected toward China. Whatever we need or want to buy, however, finding anything actually made in the U.S. has become a scavenger hunt. We best make friends with Mr. Hatoyama and the Japanese Democratic Party. A story that's been rattling around the international news for a couple weeks is the decision in Scotland to release Abdel al-Megrahi, the Libyan who took the rap for blowing up a Pan Am airliner over Lockerbie in 1988, killing 270. Al-Megrahi is old and sick, but the story is dripping with symbols of international conflict and intrigue. First, his release is widely reported to have been a condition of a $900 million oil deal between Libya and British Petroleum, reinforcing the belief that oil money trumps all other interests, even in democratic societies. Now we're hearing that the current government of Scotland may be ousted as a result. Then, al-Megrahi goes home to a hero's welcome in Libya, reinforcing the belief that killing randomly selected Western targets with explosives is the epitome of patriotism and reverence in the Muslim world. Way too much baggage for one old terrorist to carry to his deathbed. Seeming upbeat by comparison is the news that Muntadhar al-Zaidi will be released from jail in Iraq this month to his own hero's welcome for a symbolic act of Muslim patriotism. He's the guy who threw his shoes at the bushwhacker during a news conference last December, and a far more deserving folk hero than that guy in Libya. Finally, two stories which aren't directly related but seem to fit together paradoxically. Following a similar development in Mexico, the Supreme Court of Argentina has essentially decriminalized the personal use of marijuana, ruling it unconstitutional to send people to jail for simple possession of the weed. But while Latin America lightens up on the vipers, that old favorite, prohibition of alcohol, is making a comeback in the Muslim parts of Asia. In Malaysia, where tourism is rampant and profitable, this is a collision course. While Western-style hotels with bars flourish, the cops are plucking Muslim people out of those bars and throwing them in jail. In the most publicized incident so far, an attractive young woman was sentenced to public flogging after she was caught drinking beer. After being embarrassed by the worldwide circulation of the story, the Malaysian government is stalling on carrying out that sentence. But if the caning comes to pass, the criminal has a lucrative future in advertising for breweries. That's Local Views for this week. This is Mark Stannert reminding you this commentary doesn't necessarily sell any beer for KVMR, its management, staff, or contributors. Email mark@kaloki.com.